I would like to read you a little Jewish story. A Jewish businessman in Chicago decided to send his son to Israel to absorb some of the culture of the homeland. And when the son returned, the father asked him to tell him about his trip. The son said, "Pop, I had a great time. By the way, I converted to Christianity." "Oh, why?" said the father. "What have I done?" So he decided to go to his friend Jacob what to do. Jake said, "Funny you should ask. I too sent my son to Israel, and he came back a Christian. Perhaps we should go see the rabbi and ask him what we should do." So they went to see the rabbi. And the rabbi said, "Funny you should ask. I too sent my son to Israel. He also came back a Christian. What is happening to our young people? Perhaps we should go talk to God and ask him what to do." So the three of them prayed and explained what had happened to their sons and asked God what to do. Suddenly, a loud voice came from heaven and said, "Funny thing you should ask. I too sent my son to Israel." Have a good day. There have been a lot of things taking place in the news. This week I got a stack of things you wouldn't believe. So I'm going to cover some of these things just kind of like headlines. And these will be things you don't see on the news. Okay? For example, the news will never tell you of the 21 taxes hidden within the Obama tax/sick care bill, not a health care bill. Here's another one they won't tell you. Toledo, under economic distress, is now allowing Chinese to come in and invest and buy real estate and build buildings. So the question is, will Toledo become the first major American city to be owned by China? Then what? Now here's a real sleeper that most people don't know anything about. So if you've heard any of this on the news, raise your hand. And then I'll ask you what news channel or radio you heard it from. Okay? All right, here's the next one. Idaho to be the first Chinese state? Question mark. Now you see, very few people know about one of the bills that they passed through Congress, which is there are 272 locations in the United States of America that have been set aside for economic zones for foreigners to invest in. And these zones will become tariff-free zones. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if they come to these zones, will they get things from their home country without having to pass through U.S. customs? And if that is the case, what could they bring? Idaho to be the first Chinese state? All right. Otter and Company have named this project 6D. Sounds innocent enough until you realize that Otter and his minions are afraid to call it what it is: globalization of America and surrender of sovereignty. If it were called that, someone may want to charge Otter with sedition. Under the president, it has become increasingly difficult to do business in America unless you are from a foreign nation. Idaho, under the stewardship of Governor Butch Otter, has opened the door for a Chinese invasion wherein the sovereignty of Idaho and America will be subordinated by all parties involved. takes advantage of Project 60, takes advantage of a federal program that grants permanent residence, see, to foreign nationals, in this case, Chinese. This program comes with special tax exemption to foreign firms moving here. American companies do not get the tax exemption. So what does that tell you? So much for the Constitution and equal protection. Idaho is struggling financially, and it is widely known that America is broke, so why tax breaks for the Chinese? China wants to limit its exposure to American debt, and they need to maintain its trade deficits so it does not collapse like a house of cards. In order to do this, China must unload currency and excess dollars. Buying Idaho is a good way to accomplish this. So there is a tract of land, 22,000 acres, south of Idaho, where they can come and build a city. Remember, there are 272 of these locations. Now, we're going to read some things in prophecy that covers this. And we've read them in the past before, but they haven't made the sense that it will really make once you understand this. Here's another one. The endless drought of 2012 will bake America well into August. And right now as I'm speaking, the temperature is 111 degrees in Oklahoma. Fires are raging. Look at the fires we had in Texas. Look at the fires we've had in Colorado. Look at the fires we've had in New Mexico. Look at the fires we had several years ago in California. Then look at the drought. Now, you're going to see gas go way up where it's mandated to put in ethanol, because they can't change the law that so many tons of corn must be devoted to ethanol production. So that cuts down on the food. So we're going to see food costs go higher and higher and higher. See? So we have the drought. How many have been watching that on the news? Severe drought? How many have seen what an ear of corn looks like through the drought? Okay? And people have said, well, we must change the law and allocate it for food. But the problem is, once it goes through a drought, they say there is a toxin that the corn has, which makes it unfit for human consumption. Now, you see, what you're going to see in all of these things is, number one, God is in charge. Number two, God will not be mocked by anyone. Whether it is an individual or whether it is a community or whether it is a state or whether it is a country. We also have to understand something very important to realize, which is this. There is a Satan, the devil, who is the god of this world, and the whole world is under his power because people have relinquished it to them by sinning and transgressing in great and humongous ways that are almost unstoppable, except that God intervenes with a disaster. Someone mentioned to me concerning the drought and the fires. Does that have anything to do with legalizing homosexual marriages, endorsing them by the administration, putting it into the plank of the Democrat Party? And yet how many people like lemmings will go vote for Democrats just because they're a Democrat? And just because the government is going to promise handouts? Well, when the government goes broke, no handouts, folks. See? Now, we're getting close to that time. Look at the cities that are going bankrupt. Just right down the road here, Stockton, the state of California, San Diego. How many other cities are going to go bankrupt? Oh, but those wonderful people who are the servants to the people will not relinquish their union or take less in pay or take less in pensions. Well, God's going to take it all away. All right? World edged closer to deflationary slump as money contracts in China. And did you see it the other day? This woman who's running for senator in Massachusetts says, well, look at China. They're investing 9.6% in building homes and everything like this. Well, when you pay 35 cents an hour, you can have a lot of workers. But when you pay $50 to $60 an hour because of health benefits and retirement in America, you can't build very much, right? Okay. Italy is going to go under. Spain is going to go under. Now, all of that just economics. Okay. Now, I don't know how many heard of this. There was the Saudi Arabian intelligence chief who was assassinated by the Iranians. Anybody hear that in the news? They are scared to death. Look at all the ships that we have in the Persian Gulf, Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, at the same time, Russia, China has their fleets right near Syria. Syria is destroying itself. Now, I'm reading a book called Why We Want to Kill You. I forget the first name of the man, but he's supposedly converted from radical Islam to becoming a Christian. And he says that they are trained. Now, not only that, you read the heritage in the Bible, and they are, God prophesied that they would be every man against his neighbor and killing their own. Look at what's happening. Look at all of the Arab countries. Now, that's sooner or later going to set it up for the king of the south. But look at it, see. They're given to killing, hatred, viciousness, cruelty. That's what they're trained in. All right? Khomeini, the imam of Iran, says, war in weeks. Who knows what it will be? Who knows what surprise is going to be pulled out of the campaign hat? Now, at the same time, remember what happened when the Episcopal Church ordained a homosexual as a bishop? Well, it split the church. Precisely what Rome wanted. Now then, they are trying to approve gay blessings. I'll say homosexual. They're anything but gay. Okay? They're trying to approve homosexual marriages. Well, the best way to approach that is this. Say, all right, you want equal status? You produce offspring through your relationship and then come and see us. Because that choice is the choice of death. So the churches are all being assaulted. All right. Europe has to avert a global calamity before the year is out. Don't know if that will take place or not. Red alert, global systemic crisis, that is economically, September, October. Fed looking at a third round of easing. And most people don't know it, but the Federal Reserve has, since 2011, has purchased 41% of all U.S. Treasury certificates. Now, if you want to know the biggest fraud in the world, that's the central banks of the world. That's the biggest fraud here in the United States as well. How would you like it for a tenth of a cent? You could print the certificates to get hundreds of billions of dollars. Tenth of a cent per certificate. And then you can collect from the government. All right. Christianity is on decline in Australia as well as the rest of the world. Then the final one here for America. America's most biblically hostile U.S. president. And it has 6 pages of how the administration is against Christianity. And I don't know if you saw it in the news with this Chick-fil-A flap that has gone on. The hatred by the atheist because someone dares bring up the Bible. Did you see the one man on Fox News? He was just in a rage. You bring in the Bible. And I thought, what's going to happen when their numbers increase? Because you see, 20% of the youth coming out of high school and college are now atheists. They don't believe in God. It's like the atheist says, well, why does God allow this and why does God allow that? You want to know? Read the Bible. God will tell you. He'll tell you why. Okay? But most people don't want to do that. So we need to look at things and what's going to happen, how it's going to come down, the reason why, and why we need to stay close to God. And so before we start, I want you to put in your notes Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I want you to read that psalm every single day and claim those promises. And then I want you to look at your own life and see what you need to repent of and change before God. Because as I wrote in my last letter, there are two things that God looks at: the nations and people of the world and the state of his church, number two. Now let's go back and review just a couple of things here. Now, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? What was their punishment? All right. Their punishment was that human beings received the law of sin and death within them as part of their inheritance to pass on to their children. Number one. Number two, the environment was changed so that now there would be thorns and thistles. Now, what happened when, let's come to Genesis, the sixth chapter. Now, what happened when the whole world was absolutely corrupt? And how did God look at the world and every human being? Now, I want you to go back and I want you to think about the sermons that we have done on grace upon grace and what it means to be under law. Genesis 6. Genesis 6. We see it in operation right here in Genesis, the sixth chapter, and yet there are such dim-witted theologians that they say, well, there was no law between Moses and Adam. No. Whoop. Now let's see how God does this. Verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Now, what is wickedness? Is that not transgressing the law? And every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Now, why? Hold your place right here and come to Genesis 4. Even though we have the law of sin and death within us, if an individual or society will follow the commandments of God, Genesis 4, we're coming back to Genesis 6 because I want to show you how God operates so that when we get to some of these scriptures, you will understand why God is doing it. Now, especially when you understand and realize that when God gives the information, he holds you responsible. Whether you act upon that information or not, that's your choice. Now, likewise, here Cain and Abel brought offerings to God. Abel brought the offering that God commanded. Cain brought any old thing he wanted out of the ground, which then was not the first fruits, because if it would have been the first fruits, God would have accepted it because God commands the first fruits. Okay? And Cain was all mad, just like the atheist today. God, Why do you do this? Verse 6, Genesis 4, the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, now this is in a carnal state, unconverted state. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Now what is doing well? Doing well is doing the will of God. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Sin is what? The transgression of the law. And its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. See, God gave us the ability to rule over it by choice, but they rejected God. Now look at the state. Come here, let's read it again. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, Genesis 6 and verse 5, was only evil continually. But let's add some other scriptures. Every way of a man seems right in his own eyes. Look at all the people that are out there sinning, causing problems and difficulties. Don't they think they're right? And I thought it was a very pitiful display where at this one Chick-fil-A restaurant, here stood two lesbians with a little girl right beside them, and here was this one lesbian, you could tell she was the masculine entity of the thing, and the other was the female entity of that supposed relationship. And you can read in Romans, the first chapter, that when they leave God, abandon God, become God haters, then even the natural use of sex that women should have with men and men with women is abandoned. And look what happened. Look at their attitudes. Look what happens when you give yourself over to evil. And you won't listen. That's what we have in the world today. All right? Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And the Lord repented that he had made man on the earth and was grieved at his heart. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the crawling thing and the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now he had to live in those times. Okay? Put in your margin there, or your notes rather, right there, verse 8. Noah found grace. One man and his family. Okay? And remember Lot. He was grieved at their behavior. But remember when the angels came to take him out? What happened? The homosexuals of Sodom wanted to attack and rape these angels, but the angels blinded them. See? Just the same behavior we see coming out of the homosexual community today. Exactly the same. Virulent hatred. God is going to judge this nation and is in fact judging this nation because of it. I think it would be interesting, someone brought this up after Jerry Brown approved homosexual marriage, no, it was Schwarzenegger. Approved homosexual marriages, and right after that, we had all these fires in Northern California. Remember that? All these fires. What do we have after President Obama said, well, my thinking has evolved, but I speeded it up because I want to win the election. Mm-hmm. What has happened to us? Might go back and check the dates. See, because those kind of actions affect the environment. It's not the cars. It's not the oil. It's the morality of the people. So then you know what happened. Come down here to verse 11. Now the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. How many murders have they had in Chicago, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Oakland, Houston, Dallas, pick any city. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh. Means every human being except Noah had corrupted its way upon the earth. And the flood happened. You think people will take that as a warning? Oh, no, we came from slime. There was no flood. All right. Now, let's look at a few other scriptures here. Okay. I'm going to check something here. Okay, yep. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Let's see what God has set before all people. That's why there are so many Bibles in the world. Every Bible that goes out and everyone that receives it has a message from God, and if they don't read it, that's not God's fault. Now, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Here's what we have before everyone. Now, remember this, and I want to bring this out as we go along. God watches over and will protect us in difficult times. We have to live through those difficult times. Now, we also need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and we also need to prepare. So you have to bring in all the biblical principles together to understand what's happening in the world today. Now, it's very hard for people in the world to understand that because they view God as an escape hatch to prevent things from being occurring. That's not how God works. God is not an escape hatch for anyone. If you yield to God and love God and keep His commandments, God will be with you. God's angels can protect you, but you must be on God's side. God isn't going to come to wicked, evil man's side and save him from something that he has caused and has refused to repent. Won't happen. So God has done this. Verse 15. Every human being, whether they have the law or not, you can read that in Romans, the second chapter. Because all the laws of God function all the time, and all the laws of God are judging everyone all the time. Doesn't matter who you are or where you are, what you are, God is no respecter of persons. Just like the law of gravity holds everyone on the earth, the laws of God affect everyone, whether they keep them or whether they transgress them. Period. Verse 15, behold, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Now, a god is anything that you serve beside the true God. It may be a statue, it may be an idol, it may be a crucifix, it may be a Buddha, it may be a cause, it may be an idea, it may be some kind of technology, it may be in financing, it may be in bodybuilding, it may be in sports. Anything you put before the true God is your God. It says, if you do that, I denounce to you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days on the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Look at any nation of the world today. Let's look at the most virulent of them, the radical Islamists. How long do they live? What do they believe? They're liars, they're cheats, they're murderers, they're obsessed with death. Their hand is against everyone. Amazing. So God says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. See, so everyone on the earth, look up and see the heavens standing on the earth. They didn't go away. God didn't go away. They're here. Okay? I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God and may obey his voice and may cleave to him. For he is your life and length of days. We need to always remember that. Our lives and the life of every human being on earth is absolutely, totally dependent upon God, whether they love God or hate God or whatever their ideology or religion may be, they have to rely on what God has created. Do they breathe? Yes. Do they eat? Yes. Do they drink water? Yes. Where does that come from? You know, it's like someone asks a little girl, well, where does milk come from? Oh, it comes from a carton. See? That's how ignorant most people are of God. Okay? Now, let's look at what happened because they didn't do that. All right, we'll come back and look at some other things here. Okay, come to the book of Judges. Doesn't take long, does it? Nope, doesn't take long. If you live through, come to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Just a quick summary here, okay? How many here have a life that has spanned a couple generations? All right. Those who haven't, if there's enough time, you will. And what will you see? The younger generation always comes up more corrupt. And it happens because of several things. Number one, they're not taught God's way. Or number two, they reject God's way. Number three, especially in our society today, we are raising the greatest number of total ignoramuses that know nothing, care about nothing, except their entitlement from the government, and they don't realize it, that they are already slaves. So what happens? Let's read it here. Verse 10, Judges 2. Now, this we're doing an overview here. There's a lot of ground we're going to cover because I want you to get a good overview. This means with an overview, you have to fill in the details with other scriptures and things. Verse 10. Also, all that generation, that is, that came out of the wilderness, were gathered to their fathers, and there rose another generation after them that did not know the Lord, nor even the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. That's the good old friend, the sun god. See, the truth of the fact is, Israel's sin has always been Sunday worship. That's the day of Baal. But they do it to the Lord. Isn't that nice? Sound a little bit like the same thing that Cain did? Yes, indeed. Continuing now, verse 12, the second part there. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods, even gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of their spoilers. Well, we got a lot of spoilers hanging around ready to execute their judgment, correct? Yes, indeed. All right, let's come to the book of 1 Kings. Let's look at Solomon. Now, you talk about starting out with great advantage of everything. Blessing of God, given a responsibility for building the temple. There was peace in the land. He built the temple. God put his presence in it. He gave a long, magnificent prayer. You read the prayer of Solomon, okay? Might be good if you'd read the prayer of Solomon on your knees and use that as your prayer. And pray that for this nation. He did everything that God said, don't do. After God appeared to him twice, blessed him with everything, made him the smartest man in the world, the richest man in the world. And what did he do? The same thing the children of Israel did. Let's read it. Verse 1, 1 Kings 11. And King Solomon loved many foreign women, even the daughter of Pharaoh, the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Of the nations which the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not go unto them, and they shall not go unto you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, but Solomon clung to them in love. Do we have sex problems today? Isn't sex the biggest problem in the world today? And what comes after sex? Money. And what comes after money? Drugs. All right. Now notice what happened. 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. He got so involved in pleasing his wives and sexual activities that he had no time for God. And then what happened? He forgot God. And what did he do? He was run by his wives, who controlled him. Oh, now Solomon, here we have such a nice God over here. Now, you wouldn't want to be discriminating against Ashtaroth. She's such a wonderful goddess. Now, if you love me, will you build a temple over here for my goddess? And another wife said, well, will you build an incense altar for my god? So he filled on the other side of the temple mount with all the pagan gods. So here's what happened. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully go after the Lord like his father David. And he built high places for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. So he did for all of his foreign wives. Burned incense, sacrificed to their gods. God was angry. So what did God do? There comes a point, and we're reaching that point very quickly here, in America. Britain's about 5 years ahead of us. Okay? God raises up enemies. Lo and behold, they're already here, aren't they? Hello? Think about it. Yes, indeed. Okay? He said, I'm going to tear away the 10 tribes of Israel from you. I'm going to leave you one tribe because of your father David. All right? Now let's see what happened here. Come here to verse 14. Now I want you to see the parallel. See, these things build up over a period of time before the finality of it. And it came to pass that the Lord stirred up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. And he was of the king's seed in Edom. Little terrorist activity. That was just the start. All right, you know what happened? The kingdom split. God gave 10 tribes to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And Jeroboam made 2 calves of gold. And not one king in 232 years over the 10 tribes of Israel was righteous. Not one. Over Judah, there were several. But let's see what happened. Let's come to 2 Kings 17. And before we go into that, let's take a little break.